Hello and welcome to Through the Bible with Les Feldick, an inspirational and informative half hour of insight into the heart of Scripture. In addition to teaching the Bible, Les is a full-time rancher, having a down-to-earth practical teaching style that makes the Bible come to life. All programs are available on audio tape, videotape, and in printed form. At the end of the program, there will be an address where you can contact the ministry. And now, here's Les Feldick with today's lesson.
All right, now verse 21. And you, who were at one time alienated, and what's the next word? See, people don't like to think of it in that light. But the lost person is an enemy of God. We were. And so, this is the thing that we have to keep uppermost. That the lost person, the unregenerate person, is, so far as God is concerned, an enemy. And we were. And as a result of it, then, the works are wicked. And they were anything but beautiful, and I've shown them before. In fact, back up a little bit to Galatians is one place where he gives us a good picture of what we all were. Now, I know a lot of us came from good homes, and we were not guilty of all these things in the activity of our daily life. But nevertheless, potentially, every one of us were capable of doing all these things. And that's in Galatians 5, beginning at verse 17. These are basically the things that the Scripture refers to when they talk about the things of the flesh. Galatians 5, jumping in at verse 17. Verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest. And which are these? Adultery, fornication, that is immorality in all its forms, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, sedition, heresies, envying, murder, drunkenness. See, those are all the things that are the acts of the flesh. And these are the things that the Spirit, as He inspired Paul to write, wants us to realize. Back to Colossians now again. And so, this is what we were all capable of. Whether we actually did it or not, that's moot. We were capable of it. And so, we were enemies by wicked works. But in spite of it, now we are reconciled. And of course, when Paul wrote to the Colossians, that's what they came out of. These Colossian people didn't have the wherewithal to come from Christian homes like a lot of Americans do. They were pagans. They were idolaters. And all of the attendant vice and sin that was with it. That's what these people that Paul is addressing first, that's where they came from. For us, of course, like I've already said, it merely means that we were capable of it. But most of my American listeners, at least, have been raised in a Christian environment to some degree. At least we have not been out there in a home that practiced paganism and idolatry, see? But always remember that these early believers, that's what they came out of. And we're going to see that again when we get to the Thessalonian letters. All right. Now, verse 22. In the body of His flesh is how we've been reconciled. Through death, to present you holy. Now, the word holy in Scripture merely means set apart. God has taken us out of that environment of wickedness and of the world, and He has set us apart. Unblameable. Now, whenever I read a word, bingo, verses come to mind. I can't help it. Come back to 1 Corinthians. Back to 1 Corinthians, chapter 1. Oh, goodness. Let's start 1 Corinthians, chapter 1, verse 5, honey. Let's start verse 5. 1 Corinthians, chapter 1, we'll just start at verse 5. Verse 8 is the one I want to really make a point of. But we'll start at verse 5, just to pick up the flow. That in everything you are enriched by Him, in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that you come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who, see now there is not a period there, it's just a break, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that you may be, what? Blameless. Same word that he used back here in Colossians, see? Now, stop and think a minute. What kind of believers were the Corinthians? Carnal. See? They were not a spiritual group of people. They had all kinds of problems. And so, even to those carnal Corinthians who had still not totally removed themselves from all the excesses of their pagan background, they were still experiencing immorality. They were still experiencing divisiveness in the congregation. But yet Paul writes that even those Corinthians, if the Lord would have come, what would he be called them? Blameless. Now that's not license. That's grace. That's grace, see? And so that's what it says. That you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because the work of salvation is so complete. See? All right, back to Colossians then again. Back to Colossians chapter 1. And he has declared us holy, unblameable, and unreprovable in his sight. And then, of course, some people are going to jump on this word if here. See, that means you can lose it. No, I think Paul merely puts the thought here that we are dealing with something that is so precious that we're not to take it lightly. That if you continue in the faith, how? Grounded and settled. In another place, he says, not driven about with every wind of doctrine. And that's what a lot of people have been guilty of. I get letters all the time where they have jumped from this group to that group to that group, and they've ended up just totally confused. They've gone with every wind of doctrine. And what we try to do is just come back and say, but this is what the book says, see? And so continue grounded and settled and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you have heard and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven. Quite a statement, isn't it? Now, I'm not taking away from the need to send missionaries to foreign places. But over and over, the Bible tells me that those people have already been given enough that they're going to be held responsible. Now, that's shocking, I know. Let me show you what I'm talking about. Come back with me to John's Gospel, chapter 1. And don't ever construe this as an excuse for not going to the mission field. There is a dire need for missionaries in many, many places around the world. But, on the other hand, when Paul writes in Romans chapter 1, that one day these lost, benighted souls will stand before the great white throne and hear their condemnation. And Paul says they are without excuse. Well, how can they be if they've never heard the gospel? Evidently they have. Look at John's Gospel, chapter 1. And again, let's see, honey, I think we'll start in verse 6. Got it handy? Okay. John's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 6. There was a man sent from God whose name was John, John the Baptist. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light. Now, I'm sure the word light is capitalized in all your versions, so it's a reference to Christ, the light of the world. So John came to bear witness of that light that all, now the word man has been added through the translators, that all through him might what? Believe. He, John, was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. All right, now look at the next verse. My, if this doesn't grab you, I don't know what does. That is speaking of Christ, that was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. That's what it says. Who am I to argue with it? Every man in the world has received a certain degree of light. Consequently, then, now turn with me to the verse I just alluded to in Romans chapter 1. I think it's verse 20. Romans chapter 1, verse 20. In fact, we really should read verse 19. Romans chapter 1, 19 and 20. Romans 1, 19 and 20. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. That is the whole human race. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made or created, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they, now that's talking about the whole human race, so that they are without excuse. That's what it says. And I'm sure this is what the Lord will say to them when they come up before Him at the great white throne, and they're going to say, well, we never had a chance. We never heard. And I'm almost confident He's going to come right back and almost quote John 1, verse 9. I was the light that came into the world. I lighted you at one time. And we don't understand how. I sure don't. But the Scripture is true. Let God be true. That these people are going to be held responsible. Well, it's just beyond my comprehension. But I have to go by what the book says. All right. Now let's come back to Colossians chapter 1. And here again, Paul uses that same connotation that every human being has somehow or other been made aware of the gospel. In fact, at break time, I'm sorry about this. Honey and the rest of you, come back with me to Romans. I think Dwight is in chapter 2, wasn't it? Yep, Dwight and I were looking at it during our coffee break. Okay, Romans chapter 2, verse 16. I'll bet this is a verse that 9 out of 10 professing Christians don't know it's in here. Quite a verse. And yet it fits with what we've just been saying. Romans chapter 2, verse 16. You all got it? Okay, camera guys, get it on the page. And in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to what? Paul's gospel. Isn't that something? According to my or Paul's gospel. Now, what does that mean? At judgment day, there at the great white throne, the masses of the whole human race are going to be confronted with Paul's gospel. Even though it was only preached from New Testament days on. Now, don't ask me to explain that. It's beyond me. But again, let God be true. Every human being is going to stand before the judge absolutely without excuse because somehow or other the light of the gospel has appeared to every man. In Titus chapter 2, he says basically the same thing. The grace of God, which hath appeared to all men, see, bringeth salvation. Okay, back to Colossians, chapter 1. Again, the last part of verse 23. That which you have heard and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven. And we know there are areas in South America, practically uncivilized. And we have to say, well, now they've never heard. Well, Leave that in God's hands, see? But Paul says here it has been preached to every creature under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am a minister. That's what made me think of that verse back in Romans 2, that every creature will be judged according to Paul's gospel. All right, now let's move on to verse 24. Who now rejoice in my sufferings for you. And again, that goes back to all the physical sufferings that the Apostle Paul went through for the sake of the gospel. My goodness, he could have just thrown up his hands and given up and gone back to Jerusalem and lived high on the hog, couldn't he? Sure, he could have, but he didn't. And he continued on and counted the things of this world, as we saw a few weeks ago, as trash, as stuff that was worthless, that the gospel might continue permeating the Roman Empire. All right, so now he says, I rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh, his own sufferings, his beatings, his scourgings, his imprisonments, his shipwrecks, and all the other things he went through. In my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. See, now there again, the Apostle Paul is making that distinction that the church that he refers to is the body of Christ. See what a difference that makes? The church, which is his body. And nowhere else in Scripture do you see that. You don't see it in the Gospels. You don't see it in the book of Acts. You don't see it in the later epistles or in the book of Revelation. Even those first seven letters in the book of Revelation, there's not a word about the body of Christ. This is uniquely Pauline, see? That body of truth, as we're going to see here in just a little bit, that he refers to constantly as the revelation of the mystery, see? All right? So he said everything that he's gone through is for the sake of the body, which is the church, of which, verse 25, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, or administration, which is given to me for you. Now remember, what kind of a congregation was Colossae, Jew or Gentile? Well, it was Gentile. There may have been a smattering of Jewish, but it was primarily, again, a Gentile congregation. And look at his language. That the dispensation of God, which was given to Paul for the benefit of these Gentiles to fulfill or to bring to fruition the what? The will of God. And this is why we have to differentiate. That God dealt differently with Israel than he deals with the church. And the only place we can differentiate is that Paul writes to the church, whereas all the rest of Scripture writes to Israel. Now, come back to Ephesians, and he used almost identical language. And there again, repetition is for emphasis. And this is why I'm sure the Holy Spirit caused him to write it. Again, I don't think Paul sat there beating his head and saying, how can I get this so that I can repeat it? No, the Holy Spirit just caused him to dictate it, or however he did it. And that's consequently the inspiration of the Scriptures. Ephesians 3, starting in verse 1. Ephesians 3, verse 1. Okay? Ephesians 3, verse 1. For this cause, in other words, all the things that he wrote in those first two chapters, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for what people? You Gentiles. Now, don't miss that. It is specifically directed to the Gentiles. Now, we know that everything from Genesis chapter 9 up through the gospel accounts and the early chapters of Acts were all directed to what people? Let me show you, for example. Now, I guess on our daily program, we're in the book of Acts right now, and we're getting a lot of phone calls on it. But come back to Acts chapter 2 and so you can see the difference. Just for the comparison's sake. Acts chapter 2, verse 22. Acts chapter 2, verse 22. And now you watch it real careful, because I'm going to throw you a curve. I'm telling you ahead of time, I'm going to throw you a curve. Acts 2, verse 22. Ye men of Israel, and all you Gentiles. See, it doesn't say that. Everybody thinks it should, but it doesn't say that. He says, ye men of Israel. Hear these words. He doesn't include a Gentile. No how. All right, come over to chapter 3. This isn't just a misprint. Acts chapter 3. Just as clearly as Paul says to you Gentiles, Peter says to you Jews. See? And now Peter, verse 12 of chapter 3, he says, ye men of Israel, and all you Gentiles? No. You men of Israel. See how he qualifies that? And then he comes on down to even narrow it further in verse 13. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers. Who's he talking to? Jews. See? All right, but now flip back over to Ephesians. Paul is going the other direction, and he said, I am the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles. And that's why he says in Romans 11, verse 13, for I am the apostle of the Gentiles. See? All right, now then, Ephesians 3, come on down to verse 2. If you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, same word as he used in Colossians. Only in Colossians he doesn't use the word grace. He says the dispensation of God. Here he says the dispensation of the grace of God. But now here's the part I wanted you to see. The last few words of verse 2. If you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you. What's the process? God revealed this whole body of truth to this one man, this one apostle of the Gentiles, and he was instructed that he was to take this to the Gentile world. Now, granted, he tried to go to the Jew first and then to the Greek, but when they would reject it, he would end up with his greatest results amongst the Gentiles. And that's the way God intended it, because this is the age of God dealing with the Gentile. All right, come back with me now again to Colossians. We got to make a little headway. All right, verse 25 again. Whereof I am made a minister. And in another place, of course, he was called an apostle of the Gentiles. I've referred to that. According to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you, Gentiles, to fulfill the word of God. All right, let's go back, all the way back to the Old Testament. See, when I'm teaching in the Old Testament, I like to jump to the New. But when I'm in the New, I like to go back to the Old to see how it all fits together. Come back to Isaiah chapter 40, I think it is. 42. And then we'll have a couple others that we can look at. Isaiah chapter 42. And then we'll take another quick look in 59 and 60. And oh my goodness, we only got a minute left. Okay. Isaiah 42, maybe this will suffice. Isaiah 42, verse 1. Behold my servant, whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him. Who are we talking about? The Messiah, see? The Son of God, the Christ. He shall bring forth judgment to what people? The Gentiles, see? God hadn't forgotten about them.
Thank you for joining us again for Through the Bible with Les Feldick. If you'd like to order audio tapes, videos, or any of our printed material, you may do so by writing Les Feldick Ministries, Route 1, Box 760, Kenta, Oklahoma, 74552. That's Les Feldick Ministries, Route 1, Box 760, Kenta, Oklahoma, 74552. Or you can call us toll-free if you'd like at 1-800-369-7856. That's 1-800-369-7856. Remember, this is a faith ministry, and your participation with us is greatly appreciated. Again, our address is Les Feldick Ministries, Route 1, Box 760, Kenta, Oklahoma, 74552. And our phone is 1-800-369-7856. Thanks again for listening, and please join us next time for Through the Bible with Les Feldick.